Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Greetings, happy Independence Day. May Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith elect to fight the aliens invading the planet of Uriarth.
And also, we have Matt today. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. It's not Independence Day, but it's voting day, so I guess that counts.
Yes.
And I have another person joining us back from sabbatical. We have Joe on the line. Now, as you know, Joe has not been around, and I'm going to explain. See, Joe was embarrassed as he wasn't as good at video games as I was, so he went on a quest to get good. Welcome back, Joe.
Hi, guys. It's good to be back. Yes, I have returned from my quest for knowledge, and it's good to be back. Yeah, I had to step away for a while, but it's nice to be back. Thanks for having me back.
Did you find your spirit animal?
Oh yeah, it's Tiger Shark.
Nice. yeah. No, I know what it is. Got it right off the top. So it's Tiger Shark. Yeah.
For those of you that are new to our podcast, this is a conversational podcast for gamers by gamers, and pretty much we like to talk about games. But before we get started, please, let's get some housekeeping out of the way. Please subscribe and rate us. It does help out the show. You can follow us on the Twitter at GameStuffCast. And you can join us in our Facebook discussion at GameStuffPodcast. Just give us a search. We'll invite you in. Now, before we get into the topic of the week, which is we're going to talk about this whole Diablo fiasco with Immortal and shit crystals. Because, hey, we're the GameStuff and shit crystals. Mm-hmm. Let's start with what we've been playing. Roberto, what are you playing?
Speaking of Diablo, I've been playing Diablo 3, the Torment Edition on the Nintendo Switch, which was launched on November the 2nd, which was last Friday. As you know, the Diablo 3 is a six-year-old game that has just been re-released again onto Nintendo's beloved system, and I'm pleased to say it is extremely well done, holds up very well, save for a few visual blemishes. It runs...
Now... Real quick, I'm sorry, this is kind of a question for Matt, because he's the expert on this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm an expert, but I've definitely played the most, Diablo out of all of us. I'm not sure how much Joe's played.
I played a lot of Diablo. I played over, 200 hours.
Yeah, so we're pretty close.
What is worse? How many times Skyrim has been released on different platforms, or now Diablo?
It's Skyrim.
Okay.
All right, it's like 100% Roberto. Skyrim.
I mean, Skyrim can play in a refrigerator, so it's Skyrim.
Yeah, seriously, you can talk your way into Skyrim via Alexa. So once Diablo hits Alexa and you're getting the dings for levels in your loot gear via Alexa, then maybe we could talk.
That's a good point. So it's in case you don't know what Diablo is, Diablo is basically an action RPG where you fight the hordes of hell. Basically, in all many iterations, the Seven Horsemen, the Seven Seals. Oh, did I say Seven Horsemen? Oh my god. The Four Horsemen. The Seven
fucking Horsemen, bro.
That's like three more than I thought existed.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
The Rapture, the Ragnarok, what have you. You fight it. So I chose a Crusader class, and the game starts off a little slow. You know, you're fighting typical zombies, but it runs on the Switch. I've been playing in handheld mode, 60 frames per second. The details are pretty good. If anything, there's just a kind of a haze to a lot of the environments, like a little haze, I guess, to kind of compensate. But once again, the Nintendo Switch has proven to be a little system that trumps all of our expectations. It can run Doom, it can run Wolfenstein, it can run Skyrim, now it can run Diablo.
It's a six-year-old game. It should be able to run a six-year-old game. No blemishes. It's a six-year-old game.
I'm curious, because I know this is your first encounter with Diablo. Had you played like this, like a looter action RPG before, like Diablo? And I guess like as your introduction to Diablo, what do you think of this? Because D2 is like almost everybody's favorite Diablo game, just because of the craziness of the skill trees. Right? It's wonderful, and they kind of scaled a lot of that back. So I'm curious as to what you think.
I mean, I'm digging it. You know, the setting, the whole dark heresy and apocalyptic environment's pretty cool. And then also just the combat and the gameplay is kind of, you know, it's simple. You know, one of those easy to learn, hard to master type. The closest I've played was actually a game that we've mentioned at least 20 different times on the show here, if not more, which is Warhammer 40,000 Inquisitor, which is which is a little different considering that you have, you know, rifle, long-range weapons, rifles. It's in a space setting. It's slower, but it's
a top-down action RPG,
yeah,
or isometric action RPG,
and there's loot involved in trying to grab like different equipment, armor, weapons, things of that sort. I actually was playing that on Saturday during Joe's Extra Life session. But yeah, it's pretty good so far. I'd have to say next week I should have more like impressions as I start slaughtering monsters. Also worth noting, you can get the Ganondorf armor for this particular issue. I haven't gotten that yet, though.
You have to spend a shitload of coin to get it, though, in-game.
Do you?
It's like 50,000 per each thing. Armor set piece, dude.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Wow. Okay, yeah, I got a ways to go, then.
Well, money becomes no object in that game once you get to like a certain point. Like, you'll be crapping out money. Like, everything you kill will crap money.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I see. Then, more on the Switch, Subsurface Circular. Has anyone heard of that?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is cool. So
Joe, you sounded so defiant. You were like, you weren't like, no. You were like, no.
I don't think anybody has.
Did you shut the door, Mom? Because I did.
No.
It's like Broadway play, no. So, anyway. Anyways. 2014 or 15, Mike Bithell released a video game called Volume. It was a stealth action game that was a homage to Hideo Kojima, Metal Gear Solid, and all the stealth action classics. The game took place in a futuristic dystopic London in the wake of a massive war where London has become a massive arms race dealer. They make artificial intelligences, robots, and lots of guns. And a lot of the bureaucrats, the rich bureaucrats that profited off the war, now lead London. You play as a Ron, Rob, who's like basically Robin Hood, and you go into these things called volumes. It's like a 3D arena. It's like a 3D virtual computer. You hack into the actual computer. You in the classic tale of taking from the rich to get back to the poor. There's 100 levels. It's a great game for PS4 and PC. I highly recommend it. Hopefully it gets a Switch.
Is it like an RTS? Is it action adventure?
Stealth action game. I mentioned that because Subsurface Circular takes place in the world of Volume. In this world, there are robots. They're called techs. They have sentience. There's been a mysterious string of disappearances of these techs. You are a tech, but you're a detective. You ride a train in a massive circle, talking to all sorts of techs, trying to determine what's causing the disappearances. Is it a human? Is it another tech? Is it something worse? The violence that humans are inflicting upon robots. Are robots willing to rise against mankind? So it's a text-based video game. So like you're on the train and you're going through each like monologue of text. You garner clues. You inject the clue into the conversations, and you try and decipher. So there's like 8 chapters. It's a good couple hour long game. It's pretty neat. It's different. I mean, I like what Mike Bithell has done. He did Volume. He did Thomas Was Alone. And there's a little Easter eggs to that one in this particular game, too. And it's good. It's like it's perfect for the Switch if you're looking for like a nice, cool, but really intriguing cyberpunk dystopic future detective story. I was playing that for quite a while the other night. And then next up, Victor Vran Overkill Edition.
That's free on Xbox right now.
And it's good. It's basically Diablo. It's like a... I hate to use the term poor man's Diablo, because it's actually really good. It's like a Diablo on a budget, but it's really good. So, Victor Vran Overkill Edition, what you do is you're in a kingdom. It's like the late 1800s. There's guns, there's swords, and there's a kingdom that's under siege by skeletons and monsters and zombies. So, you know, like Diablo, you go in there, you slay monsters, you get loot, you get weapons, you go into different dungeons, and, you know, it's fun. It's kind of an interesting game in the sense of it has its own unique style, its own voice work. It also has a Motorhead pack, which is based off the band Motorhead. And I guess it has its own custom levels based off the band and things of that sort. So,
do you get to play as Lemmy?
I think so.
All right, I want this game.
Yeah. And then lastly, just going through, you know, another game that's actually out for the Switch and also out for PS4. I might have mentioned it once at least. Battlezone.
Oh, yeah, that's not out on Switch yet.
Yeah, so Battlezone, if you know your gamer history, was could kind of be argued to be the world's absolute first-person action shooting game, in which...
Yeah, I remember playing it when I was super young.
Yeah.
Vector-based tank game.
Yes. So you got the if you go to the arcade cabinet, if you ever find one, it looks like a little, like, you have the little periscope, you put your eyes up to it, and you're literally hunting tanks. Battlezone was reinterpreted as other games. There was like a 1990s game that had a whole sci-fi story to it, which was actually pretty cool. And then Rebellion decided to re-release it for PlayStation VR. Now the game has a patch where you don't need VR to play the game, which is great. But it's now being released on the Switch, I think, this week. Battlezone VR, it's the classic tale of humans versus alien robotic enemies. It takes place in like a Tron-style world. But it takes place. But the game is kind of like a roguelike in a sense. You have to travel across a hexagonal battlefield, make decisions on where you're going to go, hopefully hit your supply points where you can get weapons and all that, and then make your way to the reactor core. Once you destroy the core, you win. But to get there is tough. You definitely need a squad of at least, like, I'd say 4 other people if you're going to survive, especially on the higher difficulty settings. But the music, the visuals are all wonderful. It is difficult. I got my butt kicked by a bigger battle tank, but the ability to unlock new tanks, the constant replayability is wonderful. And, yeah, that's about it. Other games are like familiar titles that I've played.
All right. Well, why don't we go now to Joe since you're done?
Right.
Joe, what game have you been playing? Anything good?
Well,
I know
Roberto did touch on the fact that I did participate in Extra Life this year. So I played games for 24 hours to raise money for children's charity. I played a lot of stuff. I started out by playing WWE 2K19. I don't know if any of you guys have played it.
I haven't. I've heard it's like people are saying it's like the best one in a long time, though.
It's the best one since I would say like 2K14.
Yeah. Is it scripted just like the show?
Yes. Don't hate on wrestling because you know I like it.
Wrestling might be fake. I mean, wrestling might be scripted, but it ain't fake.
It's real to me, damn it.
It's real to me, damn it.
But anyway, I played that for like the first 4 hours, and I really kind of did what I did last year. I know Kalai watched my stream last year, and for the first few hours, I just messed around with the story mode because like that's when I have a big chunk of time to just sit down and play story mode. A lot of my friends and I, we mostly play universe mode, and we kind of just create our like fantasy wrestling worlds and belts and... We play for hours and hours and hours, like we're back playing SmackDown on like PlayStation, where we used to like have notebooks compiled with like who our champions were and who they were wrestling and like literally mapped everything out for an entire year. Like we were booking. I wish I'll find it and I'll send it to you. I know Matt would appreciate them, but they're really awesome. But I played that and I really enjoyed it. They really put a lot of effort into the story mode this year. They had a past contestant from Tough Enough, who did not win, do the voice acting for the main character. So I thought that was kind of interesting and neat. And yeah, it plays really solidly. I would say the story's on par with one of the story modes from like a Tony Hawk Underground, where like it's kind of that kind of story. Like you're coming up from the bottom and like you're rising to the top. So you start like the indies and you wrestle through the indies. And then you get called up to the main roster, or you go to NXT, depending on what like actions you take in the game. I really enjoyed it. I put about like 4 or 5 hours in. Liked it. Unlocked some trophies. And then kind of moved on to the next thing, which was, I believe, Resident Evil 7, which I got really hooked on again during Extra Life. and it's been a while since I played it. It's been on my bucket list of games to finish, but I never really got back to it because I would get like I'd get another AAA game or I'd get something else, and it would get pushed to the back of the list. And I finally beat the boss I was stuck on forever, and I got like really hyped. Like, you know that moment when you're stuck on something forever and then you finally beat it and you're like, fuck yeah. Well, that's like the moment I had playing that.
Was it the mother fight? Was it the fight with the mom?
Yeah, the stupid spider.
Fuck that fight.
Yeah, she's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, man. Yeah, she is.
And I really like what they did in that game with the like limited ammo and resources. It really made the fights really like mean like more, and they were like kind of better mapped out, and there was better thought put into this game than the last like three Resident Evils combined. Like, honestly.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was interesting is like the like if you fucked up with your ammo, it just made everything going forward in the game more stressful. Like, so prior to that fight, I had, like, wasted a bunch of... Yeah, it really is. I wasted a bunch of ammo, and, like, fighting her was such a pain in the ass with the limited ammo that's, like, in the arena that you fight her in, like, in the up-down part of the house.
Oh, hell yeah. I stabbed that bitch with the knife, like, 700 times. Like, I was just, die! I had no bullets left.
Die, spider!
I had no ammo left, and I'm, like, I was just stabbing it relentlessly with my knife until it died. I was like, just die already! And then... during the daytime, I played a lot of just miscellaneous stuff during Extra Life. I played, I picked up the Humble Bundle from THQ Nordic, the second one they just released. I suggest if you don't pick up the Humble Bundle for PS4, you're really doing yourself a disservice. One, you get to give some money back to the developers. Actually, you kind of get to determine where all of the money goes from the money you donate. So, I mean, it was $15 and I got 11 games for PS4. The thing that really sucks is, it, unlike the PC where they give out multiple codes, the PS4 are like bundle codes. So I can't be like, oh, I already own this. I can give it to Matt or I can give it to Roberto. Like, they give you one download code. So
I didn't know that.
I like the way you're like, fuck you, Kalai. I ain't giving you shit.
Well, I mean, you did kick me off the show.
That's true.
I'm back now, and I wouldn't give you shit if I could.
Anyway, yeah, you get 11 games in the bundle. I believe included in it was Battle Chasers Nightmare, which I really wanted to play, and it is worth more than $15 in itself. So I was like, all right, bundle kind of pays for itself right there. But it also comes with Darksiders Remastered. Like,
for the 20th time.
Yeah, which I now have four copies of.
But I mean, like... If you haven't played that game, it's like the best Todd McFarlane Zelda game there's ever been.
And what was that weird game? What was the weird game you're playing?
Which one? There was two. There was two that people laughed at during my stream, like for like as I was trying to like figure out. Oh, are you talking about the one where I couldn't figure out how to play the game?
Yeah, where you're trying to like, where do I put the tower? Where do I put the tower? The guy's like, put it down here.
I'm like, where the fuck does the tower go? That was Locke's Quest, which I actually played on the DS back in the day. I think it was a DS game or a 3DS game.
Think it was, as a matter of fact. And I actually was just sticking around. I actually did buy that game on PS4. It did look pretty neat. There's not really a lot of tower defense games on PS4 other than Defense Grid 2.
It's fun. I mean, once you get into the mechanics of things and you really like, get in there, it's an enjoyable game. I put about 2 hours into it, and then I was like moving on to the next thing. And then as I was reaching the 22nd hour of my stream, I finally decided to put in Red Dead Redemption because I was falling asleep and I didn't play it yet,
bro.
Plus I abandoned you.
Well, yeah, once Kalai abandoned
a bad time to you falling asleep's a bad time to start that game.
No Here was my thought process. Okay, so if I play something where I have to pay attention to it, I have to stay awake, right?
Fair enough.
That was the thought process. So I put in Red Dead Redemption 2. I started it up, and immediately I was, like, floored. Like, the game is just...
Wait, you're playing the second one?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You didn't beat the first one.
You need to beat the first one. This one's a prequel.
Yeah, it's true.
There's no reason. And...
I'm playing the first one.
I know you
one.
Are. And I already talked to you about this. For those who don't know, Kalai's playing the first one, and I told her that there's no reason to play that now this masterpiece exists.
It's true. Red Dead Redemption 1 is a great game, but like
this one blows it away. in every sense of the word. Like, but getting weapons.
If I play the first one, by the time I'm done, the second one will come down in price.
No, oh, unless it has GTA, where it's like it's going to be $40 forever.
$45 for fucking 5 years.
And then drop to 30 and never go to 20.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was playing that, right? And I was, like, amazed at how, like, just the detail and, like, the different little menus they put in the game. Like, getting weapons off your horse was, like, I was like, how the hell do I do this? It's so convoluted but awesome at the same time. I was like, this is cool. And then just the landscape and the backdrop and the story is just playing for 2 hours. I didn't want to stop playing. And I haven't said that since, well, I said that twice this year, really. I mean, I said that playing Spider-Man, and I said that playing God of War. Those are the two games this year where, like, I literally sat there and was like, I cannot stop playing these games.
Okay, so we're going to go to Matt now and see what Matt's been playing.
So, I mean, I'll hop on the back of that train and just Red Dead Redemption has been eating a whole lot of my life. I mean, like, Joe's 100% right. It's the most detailed, alive game I've ever played. Like, things feel like your interactions feel so weirdly real, and they just did such a really good job putting together that world where, like, people will come back and, like, little things that you do will come back and people remember things you do in, like, a weird Walking Dead kind of way. Not my story. Yeah, right, go ahead.
It just makes me, like, I'm pondering, like, what the future holds for, like, Grand Theft Auto based on what they did with this game. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be, it's going to be amazing. Like, there's no way it's not.
So, a friend of mine, so me and a bunch of my friends are all playing it, and we have a little chat group that's been going for, like, 7 years that we just talk about video games all the time. And he was playing it, and he was trying to get coyote pelts and, like, vulture stuff, and in real life, coyotes are scavengers, and vultures are also scavengers. And so what he did was he killed a deer in the middle of a field and then camped out and, like, waited for coyotes to show up and vultures to show up. And sure enough, both of them did, and he got, like, all the shit he needed. Like, it's just like a, I don't know, Rockstar is a
masterclass.
A very rare developer. Masterclass, like, top tier.
They are.
Like, no, nobody, it's really tough to beat their quality.
They're top
it's
right now.
Crazy.
I really don't think there's anybody that compares right now.
Yeah, and I thought God of War was going to be my game of the year, and then it was going to be Spider-Man, and I love both of those games dearly. They're both incredible games, but I really just don't think that anything that's come out in the past five, this whole generation, holds a candle to Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, it's that good. It is for me right now, like, the defining game of this generation, easily. Aside from that, I have been playing one other game on my Switch. So, like, to temper some of my, you know, it's too late and I probably shouldn't be playing video games on a giant screen, I picked up Skyforce Reloaded on my Switch, which is like a shmup.
Amazing.
It's a wicked fun game.
It's a very good one.
Switch.
Yes.
So addicting.
As a shmup expert, that you chose a fine choice there. And I have to add, like, the Switch is really becoming a nice little haven for shmups now.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Clyde?
I was going to say, wasn't that the game they gave away free on PS4 and Vita?
Yes, and then also you can get the game on your phone as well. That's kind of where all these games originated.
Yeah, it's just really fun. Like, going through the levels, you'd think you get sick of going through the levels, but they give you, like, interesting challenges to do, and upgrading your plane and unlocking everything is just, it's a really good time. It's just like a standard top-down shmup that you can make pretty much as hard as you want the further you get through it.
Oh, yeah, it's hard as
right. It can get challenging, awesome. But I encourage it for anybody new to the shmup genre, because the other options there that are there are good, like Demaku and Ikaruga, but those are like, those are challenging from the get-go.
One last one that I picked up was, because, so you talk about shmups all the time, and, like, when I was younger, on, like, Sega and Super Nintendo, I used to fucking love, like, them all, and I just, like, lost I don't know. I think I like lost a pulse on just playing them because there's a lot of them, you know. Right. And I picked up, I think it's called Hyperdrive Sentinel on the Switch, and it's like a very retro style game where you kind of you go back and forth over these ships, and you're trying to take out these ground targets, and then a boss will pop up. And
interesting.
I don't know. It's really interesting. It's got like a very arcadey high score type feel to it.
Hyperdrive Sentinel.
Or Hyper Light Sentinel or Hyper Drive Sentinel. I forget the actual name, but it's very retro styled. And if you saw the icon on it on Switch, it'd be pretty easy to spot because it looks very like, I don't know, like Space Invaders or.
Oh, or just like a retro okay. A Hyper game. Sentinel.
Hyper Sentinel. That's
okay.
It.
That one. Yeah, yeah. That's actually really good. That was on PS4. I picked it up for like whatever, it was on sale. I was like, this looks kind of cool, you know, let me see how it is. And
they get you.
Oh, yeah, well, not to interject, but, dude, PSN had a sale, $200 worth of games, $122 discount, I spent $80.
You need to...
What about a mic stand?
Stop!
You need to stop buying
a mic stand, though.
Stop.
When are you going to play that $80 worth of games?
He just needs to take snapshots for Twitter every Saturday.
I got grab.
No, you know what? You know what? You need to be able to accurately talk about the $200 worth of games that you just purchased. You need to buy a fucking mic stand. When is it? What is it, Christmas? I'm going to buy you a mic
stand. Hashtag buy mic stand, Roberto.
I bought Gravel.
Hashtag buy mic. Yeah, let's crowdfund him a fucking mic stand. all right. Anyway, what have you been playing?
Yeah. Okay. I had just the last closing thought was about Cyber Sentinels. Yes, it's good. It's like Defender. It's really pixelated and cool and action packed. Please pick it up. It's perfect for everybody, Switch and PS4 included. Okay, Kalai. Yep. There we go.
Kalai.
Oh my god. I've been playing the Fallout 76 beta.
Thoughts.
Okay. So I jumped into our Facebook group and asked people, and I got the same thought that everybody had. Well, everybody thinks it's way too barren. It doesn't feel like a 76 game, a Fallout game. Sorry, a Fallout game. That did not bother me. It felt like coming home. It felt like a Fallout game. So the premise is you're coming out of the vault for the first time right after the bombs fell, and you have to redo civilization. So it's like a prequel to the rest of the games because you're just coming out of the vault for the first time and rebuilding society. And as you walk through this barren wasteland, because society hasn't been built yet, you see people in ash stands from the nuclear fallout, just ash, and if you touch them they crumble.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty crazy.
Now,
so quick question,
the biggest,
does it feel more yes. like Fallout 3 or Fallout 4?
Probably more like Fallout 4.
Oh. Yeah, it looked, from everything I saw, so like Fallout 3 wasn't as much of a shooter as Fallout 4, and Fallout 4 definitely picked up on the shooter stuff.
Those damn building mechanics, yeah. though.
Yeah, man.
You don't need to use the building mechanics if you don't want to. So like, if you and I are playing together, and I want to build something, you can use my camp. So we only need one person to be able to build things. Now, what I was afraid of was that there wasn't going to be any questing because there's no NPCs. That is not true. Everything is given to you by holotapes or by computers. Whoa. So you still get all of the actual, you get all of your actual quests. Like, there's still questing in the game, which was my biggest fear.
Is it like an overseer giving you stuff, or you're just like finding random computer terminals and such?
Well, you are following an overseer from the vault you're from,
right,
to see where she goes, and you're following her holotapes. But as you're following her holotapes, you get a radio signal for a governor that needs help, and when you show up, the governor's a computer.
Oh.
It's like, so, yeah. Vegas. There are traitors in the game, but they're computers.
Okay. Interesting.
And yeah, and I was walking by myself around the area checking things out, and I saw a camp, and I was like, oh, maybe that's another player. No, it was a ghoul and pretty much killed me. So,
no, but like, so do you feel like, I mean, so I guess, like, so I think of Fallout, and I think of, like, playing it through and getting my character to, like, the highest level and whatever. Do you feel like, as a multiplayer game, that this has the same legs as, like, a Fallout 3 or even, I mean, like, people liked Fallout 4, even though we all had our problems with it. Does it feel like it has the same type of a tale that one of those games would have?
It feels like a Fallout co-op game. I played for 3 hours in co-op. I had Matt from our show. Mm-hmm. I got an extra beta code. I handed it to him. He got on. And he was like, no, this game, you know, it's so barren, blah, blah, blah. By 3 hours in, he was like, I do have some money, you know, burning in my pocket. And he described it as scratching that itch for Fallout. So we literally walked around and we killed things. Now, they did do a great loot system. So if all of us are in a party and we kill something, we each get our own individual loot. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry about, you know, sharing. But, like, we stopped off at buildings and, oh, I found this medical kit. You know, I got this out of it. What did you get? And, you know, we killed things together. We explored. We did the same quest together. We did everything together. And I just want to build my character. We were trading guns to see who had better guns to help each other out. Like, I have extras of these. Why don't you take them? And here are some bullets. We figured out the trading system. If I'm playing and you come in, you can fast travel right to me. So there's no running to get to me. It's just literally you can fast travel to my point.
That's cool.
So it really is a true, true co-op game for Fallout.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit on the fence about it myself. I didn't play it, though, so that's the thing, is you have, like, hands-on impressions with it, and you seem to have liked it a lot.
Yes, and tomorrow night they're doing one more, they're going to be doing one more beta, yeah. So I'm going to jump in and try out the beta again tomorrow.
Yeah, my thing is it's too close to Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Sakura actually just confirmed all the DLC is complete, and now the DLC characters on the cutting room. Yep, Twitter. Sakura-san confirmed it. So, yeah. But, like,
alright, so let's get back
I'm to not done with my thought! I was just telling that the DLC has been completed! For God's sake!
He's excited about Smash! Leave the man alone!
Yeah, it's just like, you know, we're in this time frame that, yeah, Fallout 76 is too close to Smash. I mean, even now, like, I'm trying to, like, I want to pick up Just Cause 4, but I know that, you know, that's close, too.
That's out?
I know, the mic's, yeah, that's going to come out in December. Yes, you're going to play.
Maybe. That's not even a maybe.
Yeah, I know, you're all jumping me about the mic stand still. Listen, I like my octopus. In fact, I am going to share this on Facebook right now, because I like this and Dory says it's a septopus.
Is this? Can I continue with my games I've been playing since everybody wants to cut me off?
Yes.
Yeah. Hashtag Roberto needs a mic stand.
I'm putting that.
And then, of course, I played some Monster Hunter. I went in and did the event that's going on, which is some cool monster, and got some cool gear. Nothing really exciting.
Generations or World?
World.
What was the drop rate on that?
I don't want to know. You're a big Monster Hunter. You're a big Monster Hunter fan. So it's actually dropping weapons, 60 different weapons, and if you complete the event, you get 10 weapons per event.
What the hell?
60. Jesus Christ.
That makes you just want to keep fighting it over and over again and waste more time.
Well, that's the thing, and it has phases, and the more people working on the event, the quicker the fight goes. So like if you have a full server of 16 people and each group is fighting the monster, because the only objective is to break off the horns.
So it's,
and it has three different.
So basically, just stick the needle in my vein now, because that's kind of what they're doing. Like,
well,
stick
here's
to Red Dead, man.
Here's the crazy part. If you don't do it the first time, you can continue the fight. You have to go back in. So it takes about three different times of playing the event to get to the point that you'll get the rewards and break the horns.
Oh, cool.
And then you come out of the event and you go to the quest giver and she gives you all your events and you have to appraise them. And I got a really cool switch axe that has 450 paralysis.
Jeez.
Yeah, you must.
Yeah.
People must be stopping in their tracks for you.
I would sell that and then get another one.
I have like 20 other weapons I could sell that I'm not using.
Yeah,
like,
you can make a bounty. Yeah.
And then I just jumped on to Disgaea 5 for the first time in a long time.
Classic.
Just for something to do. I know, and I was like, I forgot how much I love this game.
I just want the first one on Switch.
You can get, what is it, Disgaea Complete for like a bajillion dollars.
That's a friggin' problem that it's $50, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, man. Yeah, unnecessary.
Alright, so let's jump into the topic, which is the debacle that is Diablo Immortal. So for anybody that doesn't know, Blizzard went ahead and announced Diablo Immortal, which is not what everybody wanted. They wanted Diablo 4. Diablo Immortal is for the phone. It is a mobile game, so probably shit crystals. Here's my first question before we get into this question. I just want an answer. You don't need to explain. Are you getting Diablo Immortal, Matt?
I probably will try it.
Okay. What about you, Roberto? Are you getting Diablo Immortal?
No.
Okay. What about you, Joe? Okay.
What about you, Clyde?
I am thinking about it because it probably is a free game with shit crystals, and I saw the trailer. Now, the reason I wanted to start off with that is that might affect our opinion. So, Roberto, what do you think of them announcing Diablo Immortal?
It feels very much like if you've heard, rather tone deaf. I understand they're trying to go into a lucrative and financially viable market, at least on the surface. But you and I both know that mobile games are not a surefire way to the Fountain of Youth. They are it is a land that is filled with earthquakes. I remember very clearly, for example, the Walt Disney Company actually shut down its video game studios years ago in a big push to get into mobile and also like social games like Farmville. After so many years, they actually wound up firing everybody and shutting down their game division because they weren't making a lot of money. The mobile market is not a game market where there's infinite money. It is a market that is extremely anti-consumer, very opposed to gamer quality and quality of games, and either in that whole filthy, toxic atmosphere, either you make money or you don't, and if you don't, then you're screwed. So considering also that BlizzCon was like an event that a lot of people came from all over the world to go to celebrate their love of BlizzCon, Blizzard Entertainment, it feels really just underhanded that they decided that the best thing to do was to actually announce a mobile game. Like, something very cheap, something very, very just cobbled together, very tacked on. And of course, the evidence is suggesting that based that the game is being co-developed by a Chinese company called NetEase, which already made cheap knockoffs of Diablo, it sounds like this is literally like a cheap knockoff of a knockoff reskin of Diablo. So, it's a pretty shady situation in that whole avenue. So definitely something to observe.
All right, what about you, Joe?
Okay, so here's my takeaway from all of BlizzCon. We're getting a brand new RTS Warcraft game. I don't care about this mobile game. Like, they literally came out and said that. We're getting a brand new Warcraft game. Why was that not the keynote announcement?
Right.
Like, it's Warcraft. Real Warcraft. Not like Warcraft. Not like WoW. We're getting an actual Warcraft game in 2019.
Well,
like,
is that just a reskinned Warcraft 3?
No. It's apparently, like, a brand new game. And I'm excited. Like, I love RTS Warcraft. I hate WoW, like, with a passion, because it killed Warcraft.
Right.
Like, and if you like actual Warcraft, you're not really a fan of WoW. But as far as Immortals go, will I play it? Probably not, but it's free. So there's always that, like, hey, I don't have anything to do on a Friday night. I could turn this on and play it.
Do we know that it's free?
Okay, so we don't. That's the thing, and they left that out. That's a key thing they left out.
So much out.
They left all of it out, but like
I think that's my biggest problem.
Yeah, you take with it away. This announcement, yeah.
Right? Is like I think they could have. So this announcement was handled so poorly in so many ways. Like Roberto kind of mentioned, like, they gave Diablo a prime spot in a keynote event. Had hyped up, or not, they hadn't hyped it up, but like the community was really hyped up for a Diablo announcement, and then they drop a bombshell that it's a fucking mobile game, and then they have like the audacity to really not even explain what the mobile game is. Like, so I think they thought like it's Diablo, the mobile game, and everybody was gonna be like, woo! But like, we don't have anything to fucking tell you about it. Like, you can, it's Diablo and it's mobile and Diablo mobile.
Honestly,
so
I was like,
fucking play.
I was like, honestly, is this a fucking Nintendo press conference? Because they're doing the same thing Nintendo does, where like they hype something up and then they're like, well, here's this Animal Crossing Festivals game,
mobile game. Yeah. Do you want a new Mario game? Yeah, here's on your phone?
No.
What?
Here's Mario Tennis.
And as a matter of fact, when, you know, if you saw the press conference, somebody asked, there are systems in this game that I feel we've been begging for in a Diablo game. Will it become the PC? The guy retorted, we're going to do iOS and Android. We have no plans to come to the PC.
Okay.
And after that happened,
mm-hmm.
He says, oh, well, you know, the whole crowd booed, and everyone goes, oh, well, you all have phones, right?
Yeah.
That's a great response. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
like,
just,
come on, man.
And I was like, dude, that is like, on one hand, I understand this guy, definitely, he's not, I understand this guy is not necessarily part of the development cycle, but on the other hand, you know, this guy should have just taken the booze, and instead he said that, he just set himself up to just be a jerk at that point. Like, yeah, you know, because we all have refrigerators, but we don't play games on them. We all have cars, but we don't use that as a video game platform. And
yeah, I don't know. It was just so poorly handled in so many ways. Like, people paid money to go to this because they're such Blizzard fans, and you know, they did announce a lot of other great stuff. And you know, it's very odd coming from Blizzard because they're not that kind of a company usually. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they don't fuck up. Do make games. Yeah, well, like they're like one of those. They're like Rockstar, right? They're like they've been like a pillar of gaming for such a long time, and they've just been around for so long.
I mean,
no. What happened was WoW happened, and they learned how to milk.
No, people. Well, people have to learn that gaming's a platform now too. Like, Diablo is no longer just a game anymore; it's a platform with seasons and updates. Like, it's not just
tons of content.
It's not just a game anymore. Like, they don't necessarily have to make another game if they didn't want to.
Right, they could just continually update that. I don't think, I mean, I think that maybe, in a sense, you might be a little bit right, Kalai, where, like, WoW was where they learned to continually release content and milk it kind of for everything it's worth. But at the same time, they've, regardless of that, right, millions and millions of people still play that game. And, like, Blizzard has been a name that I've known in gaming since I can remember. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up on actual Warcraft and actual Starcraft, and just to see them stumble like this was just very odd and just really weird. Like, the whole announcement was really weird. What about you? You haven't really keyed in yet, Kalai.
I think that they just made the smartest business move ever. Instead of shutting down a Chinese company doing a knockoff of their game, they invited them into the fold so they can make a crap load of money.
You mean,
I think,
without doing any work?
Exactly.
See, but here's the thing I think about that is that if I hate that they outsourced this, right? Like, I don't want a NetEase Diablo game. Like, if you're gonna give me a mobile Diablo game, fucking develop a mobile Diablo game. Don't outsource its production.
Let's look at Nintendo, real quick. Let's look at Nintendo. Nintendo is shutting down people who are making those fan-based games that they're not putting out. Instead of shutting them down, they said, oh, let's invite them into the fold, then we can make money. They're not preventing them from making the game.
I don't think this is the same.
No. They're literally just saying, hey, you make these shitty mobile games, you can make our shitty mobile game so we don't have to do it and waste resources. We'll just slap Diablo's name on it because that'll get it to generate some revenue on its own. Like, by putting the brand behind it, you're putting a sense of like, hey, this is going to be quality, but it's really not.
Yeah. I think what Nintendo does is shitty because it's fans who are like really amped on the games and making homebrew stuff, and they're shutting those people down. Like Mega Man Universe, I remember got tagged a while ago, and that actually is still going. But I think this is a lot different because it's not Nintendo reaching out to a Chinese company that made Lugario and fucking, you know, having them make a mobile Mario game. You know what I mean? Nintendo would be like, fuck you, Lugario. Like, it's only Mario.
Lugario Walk?
Whereas... Yeah, fuck that. Yeah, right. Lucario Walk. But so, like, fucking, this is, like, I don't know. It's just so out of the realm of my thought process for what Blizzard should be doing with Diablo. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's 6 years.
Well, I think a new Diablo is coming. They've even said a new Diablo is coming. Just that I don't think it was ready. They were supposed to announce it at the con, but I don't think it was ready. So if they had announced it with Diablo 4, I think more people would have been more excited to know that they...
I mean,
I think they literally could have put, like, a fucking splash screen after the Diablo Immortal and just been like, yeah, remember, Diablo 4 is a thing and we care about it. But they didn't do anything.
No, you could have
just
put up Diablo 4, 2019, that's it. And everyone would have been like, yeah!
No, and fucking Metroid Prime. That happened with Metroid Prime.
That's what I was going to say. I guess they don't watch the Nintendo Directs.
Right, yeah.
It's just fucking crazy. Like, it's the one of the poorest handled, like, announcements in a very long time. I don't understand it at all from them specifically. They're a gold standard in my book for gaming. And so.
So now, what do you think about April Fool's, man?
That guy was fucking hilarious.
He wins the internet.
Yeah. That was... I mean, there's some people who argue that what he did was rude, but at the same time, I feel that he was just voicing a concern, considering that the expectation that everybody had there. There were photos on social media of entire demo booths filled with hundreds of units to demo Immortal, and they were just empty. I'm like, wow, that's not good. So that was something there, too, that was to be observed. Yeah, I feel that the other thing that could still happen with Immortal is it could still be a not bad game and maybe not have microtransactions. It could just be you spend $10 and there you go, and then microtransactions could be cosmetic. But, like, that's wishful thinking. I didn't do that.
It could go the way of Star Wars Battlefront, where they get microtransactions forced out of their game.
Yeah, because now, like, it's normal.
Guys, we don't have any shit crystals.
Yeah, so...
You know what? If anything, I think they're going to do shit crystals to get extra characters. They're going to release extra characters and you're going to have to pay for them, or they're going to have skins that you're going
to
want.
No way. It's going to be pay-to-win bullshit. It's going to be, do you want to ascend your gear 10 extra levels
and
make it fucking legendary? Because you can for fucking 10 fucking devil dicks. And if you buy the devil dicks, you can ascend your... If you buy this $24.99 pack of devil dicks, you could make your whole character... You don't even have to play the game. Your character you will just win. Be... Level, you just level 100,
just
man.
And Diablo will... That says you win.
Yeah, like... I really... If that happens, it's going to, like, sour my whole... view of them as a company.
No, well, because then completely. When Diablo 4 comes out, you'll be like, here's my fucking money!
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're probably right. Fuck off. But then they're gonna be like, did you like Diablo Dicks and fucking Diablo Immortal? Boy, do we got some shit for you in Diablo 4.
Oh, God. I don't think it's gonna be pay to win, because I think they learned that with... Diablo 3, because if you remember when Diablo 3 came out, we had the auction house where people could sell their items.
Yeah, but that went south.
And they got rid of that.
they got rid of that, but it's not a mobile game. And I mean, like Roberto was kind of saying earlier, the mobile industry is really anti-consumer in that, like, they want you to pay to play. not in a, you know, I'm going to pay $9.99 for this. But in that, like, okay, you want to play for like 30 days and be the best in this game? Give me $4.99 a month or some shit. You know,
watch
what I mean?
Hardcore mode. Be like, you have to, you like die and then you're dead for 24 hours, and then you have to pay 99 cents to come back.
Fuck that, man. I mean, that's the other thing too, though, right? Is like they announced like zero details, and from I watched like a couple of videos and I read some stuff about some hands-on impressions, and like everybody walked away with so many more questions, because like gear wasn't, you couldn't go into your inventory screen in the demo at all. Like, you could equip gear that you picked up, but you couldn't actually access your inventory. There was no mana of any sort with any of the characters, which, I mean, like, the like building mana or spirit or whatever your you know, whatever your mana pool is in those games is like a huge part of that.
That's because you have to pay $99.99
to unlock mana.
It's 20 devil dicks per one mana. So if you want to cast that spell, you best hop on that devil.
Yeah, but only 19 devil dicks come in one pack, so now you got to buy two.
Yeah, I know. Right, you got to buy the two 19 devil dick packs for $24.99 each. So that, you know, you have leftover devil dicks, so that next time you need some devil dicks, you have to buy another pack.
It's like hot dogs and buns.
There's only six to a pack, but we got 24 all beef patties in this shit!
Oh my god. Oh god. Alright, just let's actually, oh my god, we actually do have our Facebook group. I guess I should pull that up. I'm looking tears over here, you guys.
Oh,
thank you, Roberto, for going into our group this week and posting our question.
Yeah, you got it.
Topic of the week. What are your thoughts on Diablo Immortal? Have gamers become entitled? Is Blizzard ignoring the fans? Will you play the game?
Oh, yeah.
Matt says, can't blame Blizzard for wanting in on the mobile trend, but their handling of the negative attention has been a PR disaster. Jess says, I likely won't play it as it looks like a reskin of an existing Chinese game. I think the rage has to do with the timing of the announcement during BlizzCon. It was arguably the least interesting news shoved into a very premier spot. Additionally, I kind of think that it was silly to have it arrive at approximately the same time as D3 for the Switch, which we have already bought. Andrew says it's a bonehead move by Activision side of this company. Blatant money grab of the mobile market makes the skin job all the more erroneous. Couple that with their largest demographic being PC players followed by consoles, both of whom have been waiting for another mainstay entry of the franchise since Christ was a cowboy, and it would be surprising if the reaction wasn't negative. Many of the OG heavy hitters have left Blizzard, and much like BioWare, it shows. The complexity, nuance, and depth from the game of old have given way to simple yet repetitive experiences that devolve into tedium.
Damn.
The saving grace here is that because this has such a pure, poor reaction, the new Warhammer isometric ARPG could get more love. Lastly, about this whole deleting comments and dislike stuff,
yeah,
deleting negative comments is what third-rate devs do when throwing a tantrum, but I don't know enough about YouTube comment on the removal of dislikes, as that's a new level of ridiculousness.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that, is that they, like, so...
With the disabled comments on the video?
It's that, and then just, like, the backlash of the people who are giving the criticism to this announcement into Blizzard, like, has been pretty crazy. You know, there's been a couple of articles, like, talking about, like, just how entitled we are as gamers and whatnot. And I think that is so... It's such a bad PR move. Not even just from Blizzard, but just, like, from...
Any developer.
What? Yeah, or any journalism site, you know what I mean? Like, I understand that part of gaming culture can be kind of toxic and that there's times where... Maybe a fan base can get out of hand, but I think that none of the blame for this backlash belongs in the hands of the consumers. I think that it's entirely in the hands of the developers.
I mean, speak right, your
it just, if, yeah, it just yeah. It feels like just such a common sense element where Blizzard has had such, like, normally has such a very dedicated audience, and like a very dedicated way of communication to its audience, and then just it's kind of like just once again just completely just slap something together and say, okay, you know, they're just going to eat this up because it's Diablo, and right. they just decided to just completely ignore that, you know, that's not what they want, you know, it's and like you said, just the deletion of the comments, the listing of the YouTube channels, the downvotes. It's really bad. It's as a matter of fact, the no news from Rooster Teeth. They do like a daily video segment every day. The stocks for Blizzard and Activision tumbled tremendously today. In the wake of all this news, so like wow. and money talks in their case. So it's not good.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet that we're going to hear some Diablo 4 news kind of soon.
Yeah, after this backlash. I mean, you have to say, at least the fans are united. I mean, yeah, they're united in shitting on this game, but, like, they're right. staying in the united front. And I hope that they, like, I hope that they prove a point and vote with their wallet. Like, if you don't want shit like this to exist, don't download it. Don't buy it. Like, and it will stop. Like, there's no way to make change unless you act on the thing you don't want there. Simple.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
Perfect. So that'll bring us to the end of the show. Let's find out how they can get in touch with you, Roberto.
All right. So, as of this recording, we are doing... I'm part of a military charity called StackUp.org. We are doing a major charity for veterans over the course of the holidays. It's called Call to Arms. Please give us a check us out to consider donating to one of our streamers and channels as we dedicate all of this weekend and pretty much the rest of the holidays to supporting our veterans with video games. That will be once again StackUp.org, and also you can find them on Twitch and YouTube and of course regular social media. My PlayStation Network ID is VectorMan88, and my Facebook is Roberto Rob Nazdievis. I'm active on the GameStuff cast. Also, my Twitter handle is at Jehuti88. Instagram is MajorSloth1988. Snapchat is MajorSloth. Nintendo Switch is MajorSloth. And also, I'm a writer for But Why Though podcast, which is a podcast dedicated to pop culture and geeky fandoms. And you can find me there as well. And finally, I'll be heading to Anime New York City in New York City this coming November the 16th to the 18th. And PAX Unplugged the last weekend of November, which was, I think, the 30th to the December 2nd. So,
Dice Throne. Yeah,
where I can play the Throne of the Dice, so as Matt wants me to do, yes. So, that's me.
Okay, what about you, Joe? Do you want to give out your Twitter handle or anything?
Oh, yeah, it's been a while. you can find me on Twitter at MrTMNT84. That's capital M, lowercase r, capital T, lowercase M, and T, 84. That's also my PlayStation ID. Again, that's Mr. TMNT 84. If you didn't get the spelling the first time, I'm not repeating it. you can find me chilling out in the GameStuff Facebook group. That's Facebook / GameStuff or / I don't fucking know.
GameStuff podcast.
It exists. Find it.
Okay, and what about you, Matt?
On all socials and Steam and PlayStation, I'm Missed Enough, and it's MISTAHNUFF. And that's about it.
And you can find me on Twitter at Klai21, that's KALAI21. That's also my Steam name, if you'd like to come check me out on Steam. You can also find me on the Xbox at Miley, MAILE, the number 21. You can find me on PlayStation at Miley 1978, there we go. You can find me on Twitter on the GameStuff podcast and, of course, in the Facebook group. Now, we do have some sponsors. We are sponsored by Amazon. Just go to the provengamer.com link, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. It does help out our site, and it doesn't cost you any money. We also are partnered with Humble Bundle. There is a link in our show notes. Just click on that link. Go over to Humble Bundle. Buy your PS4 bundle that Joe said you should buy. And we partnered with Extra Life to help out the children. So your money does go towards the Extra Life, which Joe just did for 24 hours of gaming. If you like our show, check out our other shows. We have The Trophy Horse. and the Nintendo dual screens. I'd also like to thank some people that have helped us with this podcast. I'd like to thank Isaac Sago at isaacsago.carbonmade.com, who've done our graphics, and the band Takeaway the Ugly. They are on Bandcamp. I've put their link in the show notes for both Isaac Sago and the band. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Later, guys. Hashtag buy Roberto on mic stand.
Check you later.
May the force be with you. Take care, guys.